Hunting, fishing, and trapping are very much staples of a rural Alaskan lifestyle. There's maybe a handful of folks that don't have their hands into one or more of these three, but I truly believe they're in the minority. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But the simple fact is that most of us take part in some form of one or more of those particular activities. And each of those three activities sees participation in at least two forms: subsistence and sport. I would guess that most folks around here are, far and away, geared towards subsistence activities. Food in the freezer or pantry is, for many people, always of critical importance. Bags of berries, packages of moose or caribou meat, and canned salmon. Well, we probably have an enjoyable time acquiring those foods, but the bottom line is food stored away for later consumption. However, sport hunting and fishing also factor into the experience for many people. For those that do consider what they do sport hunting or sport fishing, trophies are often kept to remind them of special times that were spent outdoors. And the decision to have trophies often means securing the services of a taxidermist. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I like to think I'm fairly typical of a lot of sportsmen and women from around the area. My main objective is to lay in a good supply of meat for the winter, moose most often filling in that role. To that end, I'm not very particular about what constitutes a shootable bull. In fact, during the fall, I think the regulations booklet sums it up pretty well: visible antler. In other words, I'll shoot pretty much anything the state says I can legally shoot because the goal is steaks and roast and burgers and such. That said, I do enjoy antlers and have a number of sets from various animals on display in my shop and my home. For some people, such trophies are absolutely synonymous with large. For others, such as myself, it has more to do with the story behind the hunt and its success. Before continuing, I'd like to provide a little bit of a backdrop. My dad was a very, very good archery deer hunter, succeeding almost every year at tagging a buck in my home state of Kansas. Nowadays, that's not quite as difficult to do, but in the years of my childhood, the state success rate was less than 5%, and Dad managed to be in that group each year. Dad kept his antlers from the bucks he shot, and I can remember that I was always fascinated with them. Then, during my second grade year, my Cub Scout pack took a field trip to visit the shop of a local taxidermist. My goodness, what an eye-opener that was for a bunch of scruffy 8-year-olds who lived to do nothing more than fish and hunt. My interest in taxidermy continued from something of a distance during my junior high, high school, college, and early adult years. It wasn't until after I had worked as a teacher for a number of years that I realized I wanted taxidermy pieces on my walls, but that a Kansas teacher's salary was never going to subsidize such, which left me with only one alternative. I taught myself taxidermy. On a few occasions in the years since, I have worked part-time as a professional taxidermist. Lest it seem like this episode is a bit self-serving on a personal level, I do not currently have my shingle out, so to speak, so that's not the case. Rather, I field a fair number of questions from people about taxidermy each year, so I thought this would be a good forum on which to clear up a few things about taxidermy and answer some questions that might be out there. Taxidermy is a general term describing the many methods of reproducing a lifelike three-dimensional representation of an animal, or preserving a portion of an animal for permanent display. In some cases, the actual skin, including the fur, feathers, or scales, of the animal is preserved and mounted over an artificial form, typically made of some type of foam. In other cases, the specimen is reproduced completely with man-made materials. This is the case, for example, with fiberglass reproductions of fish. Most taxidermy pieces are created in one of three ways. 1. The preserved skin is mounted over an artificial form. 2. A reproduction of the actual animal is created using all man-made materials, or 3. A combination of those two methods. Historically, stuffed animals was a term used to describe mounted animals. In the early years, skins were tanned, all holes or openings were sewn shut, and this was then stuffed with materials designed to provide it with shape, hence the term stuffed animal. Today, stuffed animal is something of an antiquated term that most modern taxidermists cringe at when they hear it. Taxidermy has changed a great deal over the past several decades, and as with many other things, better quality materials, improved technology, new techniques, and more and better opportunities to learn and improve have all led to an overall improvement in the quality of the product being provided to the consumer. If you're thinking about taking an animal to a taxidermist, there are several things that can be done, depending on what it is you think you want to have done. Actually, if you think you might want taxidermy work done, the time to think about it is before you have any success in the field, not as you're looking down all smiles on the success of your efforts. Again, it varies based on what you hope to have done. If you're planning to have a full body mount done of a small mammal, bird, or fish, for example, there's more to consider than if you just want to have a set of moose antlers put on the wall. For anything other than a set of antlers or something similar, the bottom line is this. Get whatever you have cooled down as quickly as possible, with as little damage as possible. Avoid any unnecessary cutting. If there is going to be any kind of delay in getting it to a taxidermist, get it into a freezer as soon as possible and keep it there until it can be delivered. Heat and moisture are your enemies because heat and moisture speeds up the buildup of bacteria, which in turn can quickly lead to hair slippage or loss and damage to feathers, scales, and fins. While there are some things taxidermists can do to help with minor issues, your best bet for a quality finished product is to give your taxidermist something good to begin with. If you're thinking you might have taxidermy work done, I encourage you strongly to shop around. Taxidermy is a very odd art form. Better quality work will almost always cost more. However, a higher price tag doesn't always guarantee great work. I strongly encourage you to take the time to view and compare the work of a sort you're planning to have done in deciding who you choose to use. On some level, all taxidermy work is very much a luxury item. It's not cheap. Put in the time to find someone who will give you the most bang for your buck. Resist the urge to price shop. Educate yourself about what makes for a high-quality mount. Different taxidermists have different standards, but ultimately the quality of work should be measured against one thing, the live animal. Does it look alive? Does it look believable? The use of superior quality materials over more cost-effective ones, glass eyes being a good example, can have a huge impact on how a mount looks. Top-notch taxidermists don't cut corners on such details. The internet is a powerful tool and can help you to educate yourself before making a decision. Another possible approach is to learn to do it yourself. No, seriously. I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do, though I do believe it's far easier than it was when I started. It still takes time and experience to really know what you're doing, but the internet, top-notch printed resource materials, and a wealth of high-quality DVDs have done an awful lot to lessen the learning curve. I taught myself taxidermy by studying photos and taxidermy catalogs and puzzling through how things went together, and then trial and error. Today, there are so many folks and resources out there that can make learning it yourself a very doable thing. I mean this sincerely when I say that if I can do it, anyone can learn to do it. Taxidermy may not be for everyone, but there's enough people that hit me up with questions that I know it's something a lot of people do consider. For many people who spend time outdoors, it's often an additional way to preserve the memories from a successful hunt or fishing excursion. Taxidermy today, at its highest level, is, in my opinion, very much an art form, and one that can tastefully, artistically, enhance the memories from outdoor successes for years to come. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.